Today's scripture reading for today comes from Romans 16, 1 through 16. I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a deacon of the church at Cenchreae, so that you may welcome her in the Lord as is fitting for the saints, and help her in whatever she may require from you, for she has been a benefactor of many and of myself as well. Greet Prisca and Aquila, who work with me in Christ Jesus, and who risk their necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Greet also the church in their house. Greet my beloved Epaphroditus, who was the first convert in Asia for Christ. Greet Mary, who has worked very hard among you. Greet Andronicus and Junia, my relatives who were in prison with me. They are prominent among the apostles, and they were in Christ before I was. Greet Ampliatus, my beloved in the Lord. Greet Urbanus, our co-worker in Christ, and my beloved Stachys. Greet Apelles, who is approved in Christ. Greet those who belong to the family of Aristobulus. Greet my relative Herodian. Greet those in the Lord who belong to the family of Narcissus. Greet those workers in the Lord, Tryphena and Tryphosa. Greet the beloved Persis, who has worked hard in the Lord. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and greet his mother, a mother to me also. Greet Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermes, Patrobus, Hermas, and the brothers and sisters who are with them. Greet Philologus, Julia, Nereus and his sister, and Olympus, and all the saints who are with them. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the churches of Christ greet you. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Aren't you glad you weren't reading the scripture today? Regina, you did great. You know, I broke a cardinal rule today. They said in seminary, you know, especially in worship, especially in preaching, but even in Bible study, stay away from the list. They are deadly. You know, and this was not very inspiring scripture, I know, of all of the things that you could choose to use as a text for the proclamation for the Word of God. I know this wasn't among the best that you've ever experienced. It's just a bunch of names, a list of names that Paul has that he is saying hello to, and I don't know whether Paul, how well he knew all of these. Sometimes I think he just knew of some of these, but it was a list that he had and went through at the end of his letter to the Romans. You know, it's kind of interesting, though, if you think about it. You've got just a little bit of a sociological factor that is here just to give you a little photograph of the early church and kind of how it's made up. You've got a husband and a wife, Prisca and Aquila, and they have a home, and that's where the church meets there in Rome. That's kind of interesting. You've got a man and his mother, Rufus and his mother. You have a brother and sister, Nereus and his sister. You have a couple of brothers, Andronicus and Junia. You have a couple of sisters, Tryphesa and Tryphosa. You have a single woman there, Mary. You have a single man there, a Herodian. There's not a nuclear family in the whole bunch. And this would not be a family except that Christ has called them all together to be a family. You know, I'm not sure Paul would let me get away with calling this just a list, though. Because if you pick up, there are a few things that he says here and there that almost just capture a heart that becomes so obvious. Like with Prisca and Aquila. He said, these folks risked their neck for me. Now, I'd like to know what that was about. What did they do to risk their necks for Paul, but you know that he is grateful, maybe eternally grateful, for them doing that. And you've got those brothers, Andronicus and Junia, and he says that they were in prison with me. They were in jail with me along the way. For their faith, they had to suffer a little bit of what I've had to suffer by being in the different jails along the way. There's a Rufus there and his mother. And, you know, when Paul got to that point, he said, "She's also a mother to me." I don't know what happened there, but Paul probably got up one morning, said, "I'm going to have to be on my way." And she said, "Now, Paul, you just sit down. I know that you got to ride a donkey across Asia here today, but even apostles have to eat. So you just sit down and make sure that you eat your breakfast." There's a very interesting thing about Rufus there, too. Biblical scholars have toyed with this for quite some while. Because when Mark was talking in the 15th chapter of his gospel about Jesus' crucifixion, he talks about Simon of Cyrene. And he's the one that was elicited to carry the cross of Christ the rest of the way to Calvary. And there were a couple of people that all the people that Mark was writing to, I mean, he just assumed that they knew, and two of them were Rufus and Alexander. Paul said that Rufus here was chosen in the Lord. And it could have been that from Simon of Cyrene's carrying of that cross, that his family was incorporated into faith in Christ along the way. I mean, it's a nice story, and it's intriguing if it did work out to be just like that. But along the way, Paul seems to be saying, you know, these are people in my heart. These are people that make a difference, not only to me personally, but to the Church of Christ. These are the people that have brought the Church of Jesus Christ into this world. What would we do without them? And Paul seems to be thinking in pretty personal terms, too. Epaphroditus, for instance, the old man that he named. He was the first convert in Asia, he said. I could just see Paul going and wondering whether God is really going to bless his ministry, whether he's going to endorse and affirm his ministry. And then comes Epaphroditus, and he is converted. He becomes a Christian. And it's really kind of confirmation of Paul's own ministry when that happens. And he rejoiced in that. And that was a good day. That was not just a good day. That was a great day. The day that the first person was converted to Jesus Christ through Paul's ministry. And he's just thinking of it. Say hello to. But you know, he might be also saying something like, goodbye. You know, Paul has not been to Rome yet when he writes this. He wants to go to Rome, but he realized that he has a big mission ahead of him. He's been raising money from the churches. He wants to take that back to Jerusalem. He's hoping that the church in Jerusalem and the authorities of Jerusalem will receive him, will bless his ministry. Because there's been some controversy about his ministry going out to the Gentiles, to non-Jews who do not share a history in this covenant of ours. And he was always under scrutiny about how he was doing that. And when he did go back to Jerusalem, he actually was arrested. And for 2 years, he was in prison there in Caesarea by the sea. And then he was in prison for another couple of years in Rome before he was martyred. And there are times when Paul, you know, did not have the people around him that he wanted to have around him. Paul loved to have whomever he could find to be with him and to encourage him, and he always drew such strength through their encouragement. But even when they weren't there, just the naming of some of these names empowered him and encouraged him and let him know that whether he was alone or not, personally, he was not alone in what God was doing in this world, and he could think of all these people that had made such a difference in his life and could name them. So it's not really a list, is it? I mean, not just a list. I've seen some other lists. You know what I'm talking about. About this time, several years ago, I was standing in front of another list. It was in front of a courthouse, and there was a monument there that had the list of a lot of names on there. And I was standing there beside a woman, and then all of a sudden she just broke down and started crying. And I asked her, I said, "Do you have someone named on that monument?" And she said, "My son, Jerry S. Baker." It was the third name under the word Vietnam. It's not just a list. You've seen those people go to those names and put a piece of paper over their names and trace over that name. And if you want to see really what this list is about, then pull out your own list. If you don't have one, you need to make it. If you don't have one, start. You could put it right there in the margin of your bulletin. But you know right now, don't you, who you're going to put at the top of that list. Just entitle it, "I give thanks to God for all my remembrance of you." I give thanks to God for all my remembrance of you. Now, what's the name? And what's the next name? And what's the next name? And I want to tell you, take it with you wherever you go. You may move. You got to move your cars, your books, your furniture, whatever. But whatever else you may take, make sure that you take the list of those names with you. Because they have changed your life. You are a different person because of those names. I kind of had a fantasy of taking that list around with me everywhere, and when I got to heaven, I tried to sneak it in. And St. Peter said, "You know how this works. You came into this world with nothing. You have to, you know, leave with nothing. So what is that you've got in your hand right there?" And I said, "Well, it's not much. It's just a little sheet. It's got some names on it." He said, "Let me have it." I said, "Well, it's really just some names of some people that were there for me, that helped me, that encouraged me, that accepted me when I needed it the most, that loved me, that disciplined me, and helped me to believe." He said, "I don't care. You still can't carry it with you. Give it to me." And I said, "But," he said, "hand it over." And so I handed it over, and he unfolded it, and he said, "Oh, I know all these people. In fact, I saw them on the way here this morning. They're all putting together a sign. It had your name on it, and it said, 'Welcome home. Welcome home.'"